It's Wednesday, the 3rd of June, day 74, and I have laryngitis for some reason. I found it hard to get to sleep last night. I'm not sure why, but in the end I decided that the only thing to do was to make the best of it. To get up, do some reading and some work, and then try to grab some sleep. So I grabbed my sleeping iPad and made my way in the dark to an armchair. As I'd been writing all day, I hadn't paid any attention to the news, and so decided to catch up by looking at Twitter to see what had been catching the attention of the 800 or so people whom I follow on that platform. What then ensued was a horror show, because many of my Twitter followees, if that's a word, are interested in US politics and in what happens in that benighted country. And what was going on last night was truly scary. Not just in the sense of violent scenes, but in the testimony of journalists and others who had been attacked by thugs or uniformed officers of various stripes. Journalists seeing a new quasi-uniformed, quasi-military force apparently guarding the Department of Justice. Videos of people who had been tear-gassed by what looked like a paramilitary force which had forcibly cleared people out of Lafayette Park so that Trump could walk from the White House to St. John's Episcopal Church in order to pose outside it with a Bible in his hand. This was patently a stunt aimed at some of those of his followers who are evangelistic Christians, some of whom may have been sufficiently devout to notice that the Bible was upside down. It's not clear to me, at least, that Trump can read, so it's pretty clear that he certainly hadn't read the good book, either upside down or right way up. Perhaps he wouldn't have known the difference. I found what I was seeing and reading so shocking that I had to turn off Twitter, or else I'd never been able to get back to sleep. But in the morning I fell to thinking about conversations I had had with David Runciman the morning after Trump's election. And so I looked up the piece he wrote for the London Review of Books, reflecting on what had happened. The headline on the piece when it appeared on the 1st of December 2016 was, "Is This How Democracy Ends?" He started with Paul Krugman's question about whether the US was now a failed state. "The US is not a failed state," Runciman wrote. "How do we know? Because that's what Trump said it was during the election campaign, and he was lying. He portrayed his country as a place of failed institutions and widespread corruption, its inner cities racked with violence and its political class interested only in enriching itself." "It would be a big mistake," Runciman continued in his customary playful, paradoxical way, "to think that he won because people believed him. Had they believed him, they would hardly have voted for him. Putting a man like Trump in charge really would spell the end for American democracy, because it would have left him free to do his worst. People voted for him because they didn't believe him. They wanted change, but they also had confidence in the basic durability and decency of America's political institutions to protect them from the worst effects of that change. They wanted Trump to shake up a system that they also expected to shield them from the recklessness of a man like Trump. How else to explain that many people who reported themselves alarmed by the idea of a Trump presidency also voted for him?" Well, that was then, and last night was last night, when I found myself wondering if maybe America's great experiment with democracy is finally coming to its end. This is a time when, in the middle of a deadly pandemic, a president is threatening to use the country's armed forces to impose order on citizens protesting against white racist police brutality. A time where professional journalists cannot identify the armed troops supposedly guarding the Department of Justice in the nation's capital. A time when there are rumours that if the president were to try and call in the army might not come, and that at any rate the Secretary of Defence, supposedly in charge of the armed forces, was not in agreement with any such decision. So maybe we are beginning to find the answer to the question over David Runciman's seminal essay way back in December 2016. Of one thing, though, I'm increasingly sure. America's democratic institutions might, in the end, be strong enough to recover from 4 years of the frontal assault and looting of a corrupt, despotic, infantile president. But if Trump is re-elected in November, then the game's over. No wonder I found it so hard to get back to sleep.